Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Hi, everyone, and hi, Dee.
Hi, Tom.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, show number
399.
Just before you came into my office, I was looking for anniversary songs for the 400th episode. God willing, that will be next weekend.
I know, I can't believe it.
Well, here we are. We're ready to go.
And I might add that for our radio stations, this is episode 45.
Well, there you go.
And this is Catholic Vitamin F for formula.
The formula for keeping the faith, for growing stronger in the faith, is Jesus Christ. And Jesus turned to the Father. And how I'm tying this together, Dee, is that the formula for Jesus doing the will of God was to always be in touch with the Father. And our guest is
Lisa Miladnik.
And we interviewed Lisa Miladnik, I think it was 8 years ago, so near the beginning of our show.
Way back.
And we talked to her about fatherhood. So we're going to redo that interview that we did with Lisa. And then I was blessed to be able to catch up with her for a 10-minute mini interview, so we'll find out what she's doing these days. So she's an on-fire evangelist. I really like the fact that she's doing so many things to help share the gospel with the people of God.
I keep track of her on Facebook.
I do as well. Well, dear, let's see. We have...
Something happened this week. Something big happened this week.
Well, you know, for somebody listening in Texas, or somebody listening in Pescia, Italy, as we've joked about before, maybe this is big. Maybe it is big. You know why? Because the person listening in Texas or the person listening in Italy can now listen to KPIH, Rim Catholic Radio, our radio station, on the web.
From right here in little old Payson, Arizona.
Yeah, well, now all of a sudden we're not so little anymore. We have a streaming signal that we've been able to accomplish. Now, I see on your notepad you didn't get the address for it, did you?
I didn't because I thought you had it.
I do. I just wasn't ready for it. So what I'll do is I'll get the address and we'll talk about it. It has been a real joy to work on Catholic radio in our community, and I'd like to talk about that in this first Prattle segment. We started, we've been on the air now, we just entered our third year. We started about 3 years before that, 3.5 years before that. So let's say 6.5 years ago, three men and I met. I've told this on Catholic Vitamins. I hope if you're a regular listener, you'll excuse the repeat. We met for pizza one evening at 5 o'clock in the business office of one of the fellows that was meeting with us, Jim Lewis, and we were talking about what we could do to evangelize in the community outside of the parish. And no sooner was that mentioned than Pete Domes, who is now the vice president of RIM Catholic Evangelization Association, Pete said how his life had been changed by listening to Catholic radio in Florida. And he particularly liked a show called Catholic Answers, and it had turned his faith around to be more intense. Not that he was a bad person before, but he really came on fire for his Catholic faith, and he learned about apologetics and became interested in learning apologetics. He and I have attended a Patrick Madrid apologetics seminar. So... we talked about starting a Catholic radio station. Now, the four of us knew absolutely nothing about doing this. And I had had certainly electronics experience and computer experience, but that wasn't going to be much help.
Well, look what happened to Mother Angelica. She didn't know anything.
Well, good point. Very, very good point. You and I have listened to her story, me multiple times listening to it. The story written by Raymond Arroyo, we've listened to it on CDs. We ought to offer that as a 400th anniversary gift.
There you go.
How about that as an idea?
There you go.
So we have that. It's about 7 CDs long, and it's a wonderful story that tells the arc of Mother Angelica. And you have to have a strong faith. Mother Angelica ran into quite a bit of resistance, even in the church in different areas. Some of it was painful, but considering what we're going through now, people know that there's pain, brokenness, and sin even in the church, sadly. But as we've heard many times, the church is not a sanctuary for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. And we certainly have our share of those, myself very much included. So we started talking about streaming. We'll get the address for that, and we'll promote that on our show here for, I guess, a couple, 3-4 weeks, Dee.
Yes, got to get it out there.
And that means that wherever you are, in Ohio or wherever, that you'll be able to listen to our radio station and to Patrick Madrid in the morning or Catholic Answers in the afternoon. We're currently operating on Pacific time before the time change. California changes its time, but we're currently running on Pacific time. And for example, Patrick Madrid is on from 6 to 9 mm-hmm. In the morning, well, our time.
We always hear him as we're going to Mass in the morning.
Yeah. And that would mean that if you're on the East Coast, that you would hear him from 9 until noon currently. All right, well, we're going to take a break, get ourselves a drink of water, and we're going to pick up with some miracle stories and support stories for our Catholic radio station.
Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin of the Jimmy Akin Podcast, and you're being fortified with your regular dose of Catholic vitamins. But wait, there's more.
The biggest thing is to proclaim the liberating message to young people. Your life isn't about you.
Relevant radio contributor, Monsignor James Shea.
Your life is not about you, young people. It's your life, yes it is, but it's not about you. And unless you find a way to give your whole self away in love, unless you understand that your talents, those talents are more needed by others than by you, unless you understand that your life is meant to be about some great, heroic, and phenomenal service that you can pour yourself into, unless you realize your life is not about you, you'll never be happy. You'll never find meaning, purpose, or satisfaction in a deep way in your life. And when students hear that message, it's a deeply liberating thing for them to understand that they don't have to figure it out all on their own. What they need to focus on is, how can I give myself away? It's not about you.
That Monsignor Shea promo, D, mentioned Relevant Radio, which is the network we subscribe to for KPIH Catholic Radio. And if someone is in an area not served by Relevant Radio, they have a wonderful app that they can sign up for their computer or their smartphone. I have it on mine. I think you have it on yours.
I do.
Yeah. Well, we hadn't really intended the front end of our show to be so much about Catholic radio, but we are coming up on an anniversary. We just had an anniversary for Catholic radio. We entered into our third year of operation. We had a couple of miracle stories that I wanted to share. Do you remember the first one, Dee?
The big chunk of money that came from an unknown source.
So what happened is, our dear friend Sonia Corbett in Tennessee, the scriptural evangelista who has been a guest in our home and a speaker in our Faith Travelers group, Sonia Corbett mentioned the name of someone who I think was a high-tech executive who had retired early and well-to-do, and he had a passion for Catholic radio. So I was able to try tracking him down. I sent him an email, didn't hear anything, waited 3 or 4 weeks, and sent him another email. And I got a reply back, which sounded to me, if you read the email, between the lines, Dee, you're not really whippy on doing that, but between the lines, it sort of sounded like, I'm busy, I got your message, don't bother me. So I really backed off and waited. And I guess it must have been 2 months later. I had done morning prayer, and during morning prayer, I had every day been praying to St. Joseph the Worker to help us build the radio station. I opened up email after I was done praying, and there was an email from this gentleman whom we've never met. He was in Italy, and I never found out why he was in Italy. It could have been a vacation, could have been something associated with the Vatican. And his email said, "I've decided to donate $10,000 to your radio station." I wanted to cry. I wanted to jump up. And we needed a lot more than that, five or six times more than that. But that was our first major donor, and I considered it a blessing from St. Joseph the Worker,
who is now our patron saint of the radio station.
He sure is. He sure is. So that was one miracle, dear listeners, to Catholic Vitamins. And the other is a human story, and it sort of speaks to getting support here in the community, Dee. We have a fellow who had never heard of our community. He was living in Chicago. He was a senior radio engineer for CBS. He traveled to Olympics and helped set up Olympic coverage, did all of the audio work and a lot of other things. I mean, he was a pretty senior fellow. He was also a pilot, a private pilot, had his own airplane. And so a friend of his said, "You ought to check out this community called Payson, because they have hangar homes over on the west side of the airport."
Right.
So he had never heard, but he decided he'd come and look at it. They wound up making an offer to build a home.
Long story short.
Yeah. And his home, he and his wife, Kathy, have a lovely home. But here comes into our community a retired radio engineer. We have been so exposed in many ways to the problems that took real engineering help. And here's John Trouchel in our community. And another miracle that we believe is happening because this is ordained work. Dear listeners, I'm prattling on, and I realize I am, but if God wants you to do something, and if you're willing, I think that the message is, the formula is cooperating with God, cooperating with Jesus, and cooperating with the Father. You know, very quickly, a couple other things. I have images of people who helped us, and if I start mentioning names, it's really a shame because there have been so many. Jim Lewis was the fellow who owned the business that we met with the first time, and he has a pump and motor business, an electric motor business. He does a lot of electrical work, not like radio electrical, but he was a workhorse about getting on ladders, rickety ladders, and climbing up things. We put an antenna up on top of a water tower in the town that we live in. We had to rent space from the town, and the line of sight down to where we were in our studio was blocked by some tree branches, and I think there was some sort of a midnight cutting party.
Oh no!
It wasn't private property; it was public property, and so all of a sudden we had clear. You never heard that story, Dee?
I don't think I heard that part. No.
So. We had just wonderful things. Candy Bridges has done wonderful work for our KPIHradio.com website on Facebook, and people have donated to our radio station. So you can tell that I'm sort of celebrating our entrance into the third anniversary and getting ready to do our anniversary.
So you were actually saying that Jim was up on a tall ladder.
Yes, he was.
To put this piece of equipment up on the roof, and he did not fall off.
Oh, I'm telling you, it was so rickety. So I would never have done that. I'm thankful to the Lord God for his help, to St. Joseph for interceding for us, and to all the many people who have contributed financially as well as other talents. Connie Henninger has been a great help in production area and in the studio.
There have been a lot of people who have done behind-the-scenes work. And
you too, dear. I want to acknowledge you. Yeah. You've done work too. And we now have a young 14-year-old teenage girl who's helping, and she's excited about the
work. She comes in, does grunt work happily.
Yeah, she does, yeah. All right, we run long again. We'll be back. Okay, we are back.
I've got the address.
For what, Dee?
For the streaming of the radio station.
T. All right. For those who are in Pescia, Italy, or those who are friends in Ohio.
Or those who are just 15 miles from us here.
In Pine or Strawberry, here's what you do. You set your computer.
Type this into your browser.
Yep.
ICChristianNetcast.com/KPIH-FM.
Let's repeat that one time.
Okay. IC, and these are small, lowercase letters. IC1, that's the number one, ICChristianNetcast.com/KPIH-FM.
And when you click release on that, you'll be connected to an audio player that will start playing our radio stream, just as it is originating out of our community. And, you know, we have had a few people from KPIH, who have been listeners to Catholic Vitamins, who in the earlier days heard us talking about Catholic radio, and they donated. We never asked in that program for people to donate, but we had some nice contributions from that gentleman in the United Arab Emirates.
Exactly.
You remember him?
Let him know.
Yeah, we
should.
Let
him know now.
We should do that. And we had some donations that came in from other listeners to Catholic Vitamins. So if you still are around, or if you find this show later on, we hope you'll listen and give thanks to the Lord God that we were able to accomplish this.
I'm sure anybody who knows who types web addresses that Christian Netcast is typed in as all one word.
Right, right. Well, I think we're ready to begin our time with our special guest, Lisa Miladnik. This is sort of a best of then and a best of now. The main part of the interview will be from 8 years ago, and then we'll join Lisa Miladnik in current times. We'll be back. Our guest today on Catholic Vitamins is the lovely Lisa Miladnik, whom I've gotten to know somewhat through her brief segments on Catholic Moments, and we've shared a little bit back and forth by email. This is the first time we've really gotten to spend time together. Lisa, welcome to Catholic Moments. I mean, welcome to Catholic Vitamins. I don't believe I said that.
Well, I think we're used to being together at Catholic Moments, so yeah. That would be the cause of the confusion. Thank you so much for having me here, Tom. I really appreciate it.
Well, it is a joy, and you and I prayed before we got started, and I think we have a bond of mutual fire for love of the Lord and love of the Church and all that. And there's some areas that you have become known for, amazing catechist, and we'll come to that towards the end, but our vitamin for today, our talk for today, is a little bit different. The vitamin is about the Father and fatherhood, and we'll get into why I ask you to join us for this vitamin and this topic. But if we have any listeners to Catholic Vitamins that may have heard the name Lisa Miladnik but don't know about you, why don't we start at the beginning and have you tell us about young Lisa and your growing up years?
Okay. I was raised as one of six children. I'm number four in a military family. My dad's now retired, in the Navy, but had a long career. And my mom was a school teacher for a while, but mostly she was home with us. They've always been very devoutly Catholic, although my mom converted to marry my dad. And they're extraordinarily fine people. I'm very proud to come from them. We moved around a lot with the military. We had a lot of adventures. My dad is one of the great adventure leaders, camping, sailing, hiking, you name it, and also has a real love of history, so always seemed to know something about every place we visited. We're all kind of musical. We sing or play instruments or both, and so our long car trips back and forth across the country, every time my dad got sent in a new place, we'd be singing in 8-part harmonies and having a ball.
How fun.
Yeah, it was a good childhood. We loved making each other laugh. It was a pretty lively environment and a faithful environment. Mass on Sundays and Holy Days, Fish Fridays and Lent, family rosaries at night during Lent, Christmas caroling, egg hunts at Easter. Definitely a Catholic culture. But unfortunately, we were raised during a period where the church was really kind of falling apart catechetically, unfortunately, in the U.S. There was a lot of experimentation going on, and most of it not so great. And also, I think, because of the whole anti-authority movement of the 1960s, I think by the time I was in my teens especially, a lot of adults were afraid of being identified as authority figures, and so they backed off of really teaching the faith and tried to be our friends and really soft-pedaled the faith, so that what I was left with was, Jesus loves you, and doesn't it feel good? Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's all it prepared me for, was feeling good, and the world had lots of things in it that felt good, so I went diving off headlong into the culture and ended up in a pretty dark place as a young adult. But I had been a very good kid, you know, a real pleaser, a good student, always had good friends, and it's not like I was intentionally doing anything wrong. I was just became lost. I went out into the world poorly armored against sin. So having come from such good and incredibly persevering Catholic parents, I really didn't know what I had. I didn't understand the treasure that I had. And so I got very, very lost.
Let's find out about Lisa today, just so people get the picture of who you are now. You're married and you have a family. Tell us about all that.
Well, I've been married to Charlie for 25 years, and I really suffered a long time with infertility, and after 14 years of marriage was finally blessed with a little girl. So we have one daughter, Teresa, and she's 11, and is really just the sunshine of our lives.
A little bit ago, in telling us about your early teen years, I guess, you were talking about a dark place, and that may be an entrance point into the greater picture that we want to cover today, which is the father and fatherhood. But to tell us whatever you care to share about what was going on then.
Okay. Well, I had a series of experiences that were traumatic that I won't go into, but in college I also learned through some of my coursework that the world was a chauvinistic place and kind of pitted against women. And then I, you know, continued to have, because I was not living a truly Catholic life, exposed myself to a lot of influences that were damaging. I also, you know, really didn't have a deep connection to the church. I was faithful in terms of mass attendance for the most part, but, I was doing it more out of fear and obligation than anything else. So that by the time I was a young married woman and encountering extreme difficulties living in New York City for the first time, I had done a regional theater production that went to New York City when I was about 24, and I'd been away from college, gone back to school, started doing theater, and so I got this leading role in a play and landed a pretty big-time agent out of it. And so I was told that if I moved to New York City that they would, quote, make me a star. And, well, they didn't, suffice it to say. But there was all sorts of things that happened after that. A long, long story. Difficulties with life, infertility, marriage, career disappointments, run-ins with the wrong kinds of people that led me to a place of real darkness and bitterness. And because I didn't understand that I was so seeped in the culture, I didn't understand that my sins were making a spiritual racket, and I could no longer hear the voice of God in my life. I felt that my prayers were just going unanswered, and I reached a place of feeling that I was completely abandoned by God. And so there was literally a point in my life where I couldn't pray without raising my fist to God. If I could have physically attacked him, I would have.
Wow. And, you know, the Father is always waiting for us, whether we have our fist up or whether we're eating the husks from that other story. So something happened in your life. Can you begin to share that with us?
Yeah, I really truly hit rock bottom. I got to a point where I just wanted to bag everything, including all the trappings of faith. It wasn't serving my life. I felt that it had been an empty, burdensome thing. I wasn't sure what to do about my marriage or anything else. I was really in dire straits. And so I decided to take a walk for a little while. And I let my husband know where I was going to be, but didn't bother saying when I'd be back because I really didn't know. And I went on a sort of retreat. I was not looking for religion. I had originally looked at ashrams as a place to be where I could be safe but could essentially be alone. But they were too expensive. And my mother, God bless her, found me a dormitory at a Marian shrine out in West Attleboro, Massachusetts, La Salette Shrine. They have a dormitory there. And it was cheap, that's all. I wasn't going there for religion, most certainly not. And so I went. And while I was there, I had a series of healings and encounter people that gave me gifts that drew me back to the faith. While I was there, I could not help but pray the rosary and go to daily mass, but I was not in a state of grace, and I really was not properly receiving. I shouldn't have been. In fact, when I was still so enraged against God when I first came there that I felt like the host was going to explode into flames on my tongue each time I received, but I couldn't stay away. I was so drawn to the Eucharist. And then one night I was walking on the grounds alone. They have a lot of life-size statues of the Stations of the Cross and Our Lady of La Salette and a gigantic, more than life-size crucifixion up a big, long stretch of steps where I imagined penitents probably went up on their knees. But I was there at night under the moonlight with this beautiful white statue of Our Lady, and I just poured out my heart to her. I felt like she was really listening to me. And I must have seemed like a madwoman if anyone had happened to pass by, because I was wailing aloud everything that was wrong with my life and every way in which I'd been disappointed, betrayed, hurt, etc. And when it was all done and I was exhausted, I felt very, very, very clearly the words in my heart, "Go see my son." Just like a good Jewish mother, "Go see my son." And so very, very grudgingly, I went to the bottom of those steps leading up to the crucifixion. And quite defiantly, I did not go up on my knees. I stomped up those steps and in a rage poured out my heart again. And I fully expected something to happen at that point because I felt Our Lady had spoken to me. I thought there would be a thunderclap or that I'd suddenly be warm with some great healing or something, but nothing happened. And so I walked away exhausted, went back to the dormitory, and went to bed. But when I awoke in the morning for the first time in years, I was completely free of bitterness. And that was the beginning. I ended up going to confession there and coming back into the life of the church and met someone who loved St. Thérèse of Lisieux, bought a book on her life and got very close to her. And it's much too long a story, but at that point, praying the rosary suddenly became like watching a Technicolor movie. The mysteries were so alive for me. I felt like I was in them when I prayed. And it completely transformed my life. I went home after 8 days and began the slow process of just drawing closer to the Lord and letting Him heal my life, because I, at that point, recognized how completely bankrupt I was and in need of help. And so little by little, things got better, a lot better.
So, you know, the dam broke, the anger was lifted from your heart, mind, and soul, and you started the journey back. Just not jumping to the conclusion, but how was the journey back?
Some of it's been extraordinary, and some of it's been really, really difficult. But, you know, after all these years, my conversion occurred in 1992. My daughter came along in 1999. Her coming was a great leap upward in terms of our enjoyment of life together. And the last few years especially have been remarkable. I mean, the changes just keep on coming. I'd really like to pause and just thank everybody who's listening who prays the rosary daily. especially those of you with a devotion to Our Lady of the Rosary and the messages from Fatima, because I really firmly believe that because of those people praying for sinners and doing making sacrifices and doing penances and praying that rosary, I really believe that's why I was saved. Because before I even went on this retreat, when I was about to abandon everything in my life, I asked my mother to teach me to pray the rosary. And then I met a series of people, it's such a long story, kind of along the way, that were like the beads of a rosary. And I just know that she drew me back in. She saved me, because I was at that point just too angry at anything male or masculine to really be close to Jesus Christ. It was Mary who saved me for Christ, who drew me back and kind of forced me to come back to Christ in a lot of ways. So I really do thank those people out there. Keep up those prayers. You are saving people.
You've created a beautiful picture that has never occurred to me before. If we have any people who are listening and think, well, I'll never be the reason that a person changes, maybe you'll be a bead in the rosary of change in their life. What a beautiful image. So from Teresa till today, how did the Lisa that we know of from Amazing Catechist, and maybe we should have you explain Amazing Catechist first. Maybe.
Okay. Well, it's one of those things that I kind of trip over backwards a lot of times into what God wants me to do, because at first blush, the things he's calling me to often are things that I would normally not choose to do. I began working with children by kind of falling over backwards into it, you know, helping out at my daughter's camp and in order to get the camp cheaper, and then ending up being given the task of teaching character development and story time to all these camp kids. And so I started developing ways of working with kids using puppetry and story time and improvisation. And I ended up getting hired to go to schools and churches and libraries and scout troop meetings and all sorts of things with my little programs. And then my daughter reached the age where she entered our parish program, and I'd taught long ago, had taught catechism for a while, and I'd even headed an adult education program in a previous parish, and all this just tons of doing workshops with kids. But it was really, a moment of really being frightened, actually, when I was asked to teach her class, because it meant more to me than anything in the whole world, and I was really very aware that I would be standing up in front of precious immortal souls representing the church to them, and that most of those kids would be unchurched children. 70% of the kids in our programs, on the average, are not taking the Mass, are not having any faith taught to them at home. And so there I was, feeling like I'd never done anything more important in my life, but God really provided. I prayed and endeavored to trust, and he provided, as he does for all people who are kind of clinging to Christ in the process of teaching. But what happened is that I immediately started getting feedback from people that I should be teaching workshops to catechists. It just happened very quickly. And eventually I did develop a workshop, which I've been teaching now for a while. Just kind of my season is tapering off a bit now, but this is my busy season for teaching. And so I teach a program for how to make the faith come to life, teaching methodologies, but the core of it is clinging to Christ in the sacraments of the Catholic Church, bringing Our Lady into our work, really getting to confession on a regular basis and receiving Holy Eucharist as much as possible, getting to adoration, that relationship between the catechist and God is much more important than the teaching, and that the teaching cannot happen effectively without that kind of a vibrant, deep, connected dependency on Christ. And so at the point where I was considering publishing this stuff, I needed a platform for selling it, quite frankly. But I also thought to myself, you know, there's not going to be any platform if I'm not offering something of value. And just little me with my teaching methodologies, I didn't feel like that was really quite enough to offer. And so I put it out on various Catholic lists that I belong to for Catholic writers and different organizations, you know, anybody interested in kind of going in on this with me. And I got flooded with responses from great people who wanted to write columns and add other kinds of resources to the site. So it built up very quickly. We've been up for a little less than a year now. And this past month, we had about 6,000 hits. And,
wow.
and you know, so I'm very pleased that we're building a nice online community for sharing these kind of tips and insights, for exhorting each other to deepen our faith and to really revolutionize the teaching of the Catholic faith, make it faithful, memorable, powerful. My tagline is, if the faith is not taught thrillingly, it is not being taught truthfully.
Well, there's a lot of richness in it. Give us the website address, please.
Okay, it's www.amazingcatechists.com, and it has kind of a sister website, or a couple of them. The main one is www.beanamazingcatechist.com. The difference is that amazingcatechist.com is where we, the community, and have columns and the kind of resources that we share as a community. Beanamazingcatechist.com is associated with my booklet that came out this year with our Sunday Visitor. And that website provides links for every single online resource that I recommend in the booklet, so that you can just click through. It's a lot easier. You can just go to one place rather than try to laboriously type them all into your search engine and try all the links out there. And there's other resources there too, clips from interviews like this one, reviews of the book, endorsements, and my blog where I talk about the workshops that I've been teaching. So those are my two main websites.
You and I have shared a little bit offline about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, the Montessori-based teaching method. I don't know if you have any thoughts about it or...
Well, I know a few people who love it and have been doing it for years, and I love what they have to say about it. It sounds to me like they're finding very hands-on, creative ways of getting kids to really know and understand the church, you know, in a very kinesthetic and creative way. I really applaud what they're doing. I've heard a lot of different things from different people, but I'm quite intrigued by it. I love the idea of really getting kids putting their hands on things, you know, really using manipulatives and experiencing the church firsthand.
Well, Lisa Maladnik, you are an example of what happens when the father runs to someone and wraps his arms in love around them. It changes a person, and it happened in my life. This isn't about my story, but it sounds like it happened profoundly in yours, and now you are helping others to find the love of God in their faith walk and in the church and in the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. So what a joy to spend time with you talking about your turn to the Father, your turn from a dark time in your life, and to hear what you're doing now. Any other things that we should know about you? Have you written any music you want us to know about? And any closing thoughts?
I guess closing thoughts would just be, again, to anybody who's out there, any little sacrifices that you're making, your prayer life, it all adds to the treasury of graces in the church. So please don't feel that anything that you do is wasted. God wastes nothing. And I do struggle in this myself, but we need to treasure our suffering as well and really join that to the cross of Christ and make that leap of faith in those dark moments, because he is so ready and generous. His arms are loaded up with gifts, ready to give them to us if we would only receive them.
Praise God. Lisa Maladnik, we thank you for coming on Catholic Vitamins, and keep us in prayer. We'll do the same for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tom. It was great talking with you, and God bless you all.
Wow, what a wonderful interview with Lisa Maladnik, and so many things I related to there. I'll just say that we entered that show 8 years ago with the idea of talking about fatherhood, and we did that. But in re-listening to the show and picking it for a best of, I'm convinced that Lisa shared the formula for doing something to combat the sins making a spiritual racket in our lives. What a wonderful turn of phrase. And she sure gave us the formula for how to return back with spiritual fervor to the faith. But we're not done with Lisa. Here's part two, a catch-up and current update. We are doubly joyous today. Not only are we
looking back at an earlier relationship from 2010 with Lisa Miladnik, we were able to reach out and catch her during her still very busy schedule, some new things to talk about. Lisa, welcome back to Catholic Vitamins.
Thank you so much, Deacon Tom. It is fantastic to be back.
Amen, amen. What a joy. You and I were just doing a brief moment or two of catch-up before we started our recorded time together, and I just felt sort of a surge of joy in my heart, so I'm really glad that we're able to catch you for 10 or so minutes before you move on to other things. We were together in 2010, and what were you doing then? And then we'll get into what you're doing now.
Okay. In 2010, my first catechetical booklet came out with our Sunday Visitor, and that was called Be an Amazing Catechist, Inspire the Faith of Children. And the year after that, its companion piece came out, Be an Amazing Catechist, Sacramental Preparation. So I had been writing for magazines and things like that and for various blogs, but that was my first time publishing in 2010 and also running my first conference for writers here on Long Island. So it was just a banner year, and what a blessing to be able to get together with you at that same time. It was just so exciting.
Okay, well, we have covered that during our best of interview that we shared with our listeners just a short while ago, and here we are in 2018. And I just know from hearing one number one and seeing your name in a lot of places, you got a lot going on. Why don't you give us an update on what you're doing these days?
Oh, it's been so exciting. Every time when we, really what happened is in 1992 when I had my conversion, I also started to pray the rosary. And that was, in fact, the rosary preceded my conversion, weirdly enough. But what I've found is that God just, a friend of mine, a Catholic friend said last night, God keeps opening doors and I just keep walking through them. And that's how it feels most of the time for me, where I'm not I haven't historically been much of a planner or a goal setter, but God just keeps providing and providing inspirations and nudges and sort of pushes through doors. And so I had the opportunity in 2014, after doing quite a bit of speaking on catechetical topics, had the opportunity to write a book on authentic beauty with Servant. And that book really kind of popped. It really was part of a sudden, renewed conversation about what authentic beauty was, and there were a number of other authors that kind of we all popped up within a year or two of each other, and this conversation really kind of got hot. And so that was really exciting. I got a lot more sort of media exposure during that time, a lot more speaking to women's groups and conferences. And after that, and while I was finishing that book, Liguori approached me about writing a prayer book for people for adults to use with children in all different settings, and that's called Heads Bowed, Prayers for Catholic School Days. Mm. The other one is True Radiance. That's the authentic beauty book. But anyway, so both of those books have done well. That's been really fun, done a lot more media. Shalom World Television hired me as a talk show host. We just shot our second season of Woman, Strong Faith, True Beauty. In the midst of all this, I became a regular on some Catholic radio shows. The most frequent one is Relevant Radio. I'm on every month, and on the Morning Air show with John Harper and Glenn Leverins. And that's just such a joy, you know, to share a heart for the Church and for Our Lady and for the sacraments with just such wonderful people. So it's been an amazing time of growth. And then to cap it off, something that I've really been interested in for a long time finally came together for me, and I got trained at the Professional Christian Coaching Institute and became a life coach. And because it's a Christian perspective, it's all about the Holy Spirit and helping people to discern the call of God on their hearts. I love Romans 11:29, where St. Paul says that we are irrevocably gifted and called, that those gifts that we are given when God makes us, when we are first created, that no one can take those from us. We can ignore them. We can have them suppressed. We can be wounded around our gifts. But when we step into God's call on our hearts, those gifts begin to flourish, to bear fruit, and to grow. And they stretch us, and they help us to step into the life that we were made to lead. And it's incredibly exciting and liberating. Mm-hmm. And so that's the work that I'm working towards doing full-time, even though I will never stop writing, speaking, and doing all of that, that's just a joy.
Let me just back up for a moment on two things. One, you mentioned radio and the morning show that you were involved in. You mentioned Shalom, and I was telling you before our recorded time started that I was at the studio, I think it was over the weekend, and I was putting some files into our production system for airing starting this week. And all of a sudden, I heard a familiar voice, and there you were on Relevant Radio. And that was really neat. And then the second thing, this is sort of a big jump, so I should pause for a moment, but you must have been listening to the Holy Spirit and to the voice of the Father to call you into this life coaching. Can you just say a word about how that got started?
Oh, yeah. It was really interesting because I couldn't afford the training. And so years ago, I hired somebody who was fresh out of PCCI, the Professional Christian Coaching Institute. And she coached me a few times, and I was amazed at the power of it. And it really did change my way. You know, coaching helps you think in a new way. It gets you to look at the problems that are sort of inside your usual bubble and start to think about how it could be different, which immediately takes you outside of that bubble, and life just takes on a whole new perspective and freshness and possibility. So I was really enchanted by it, but I couldn't afford it, and you know, our family went through some financial difficulties for a period of time, and so anything that I'd saved up, because I had wanted to get some more educational training, just had to be put into the family. And so that just kind of got backburnered, even though it had been something that God really touched my heart with. Years later, you know, I was gifted the foundational program because I teach online for Homeschool Connections, and I taught some children that were, you know, one of the parents is involved with PCCI, and so I was gifted that foundational course, which started the ball rolling. Mm. And so I started coaching, and I coach individuals and groups. I work a lot with creatives, but also I have a group of deacons' wives here in our diocese that I'm working with. I'm also forming online groups for creatives, and it's just been, it's been a stepping into something that, in a sense, I always felt was there. I've always been an encourager. I really think I am a developer, too. I like to look for the potential in other people. I feel like I can see it, and it excites me, and I've always wanted to help people to live with more freedom, but I really didn't feel called to becoming a therapist or a social worker or something like that. That part of it was, you know, delving into the past and into woundedness was too heavy for me. I'm not that strong. Mm-hmm. But to be with a person in the moment prayerfully and encourage them to talk about where they're feeling stuck or stymied or unable to make a decision or to move forward in their life. It's coaching is about where am I now and where do I want to be? What is the vision that I'm starting to just even get a glimpse of? Sometimes that vision is very clear and sometimes it gets discovered along the way in coaching. And then once that blows open, you know, the sky's the limit. But it's about where am I now? Where do I want to be? And coaching happens in that gap. And coaching requires tremendous, like the cultivation of a humble mindset, which is, I don't have the answers as your coach, but let's pray together, and you start talking, and when the Holy Spirit prompts, and I feel curious to know more about something, either because your energy level just dropped way down, or it shot up, or there's some kind of other emotional response, or you just said something really powerful and didn't really notice that you said it. I'm going to ask you questions about that so you can hear yourself more clearly, so you can hear that voice, that still small voice speaking through your own heart. And what happens is when people start to hear what they actually say and what they think, and things come out of them that they've never even heard themselves say before, but it rings so true that they just, you get this sort of rush of recognition. That's what happens in coaching, and people go, wow. I mean, we both go, wow, because it's the Holy Spirit. And sometimes I'm prompted to ask a question that may, to my intellect, seem almost out of left field, but I feel it's from the Holy Spirit, and that can really cause big breakthroughs as well. But it's really about just really humbly, deeply listening together in the Holy Spirit to that person's heart and then exploring together, being willing to just not know but wait for God to speak through that person's own heart. And, oh gosh, it's so simple at its core, and yet it's something that our culture's lost, just that ability to deeply listen, to tune in, to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying, to find that silent, safe place to be with another person and care so deeply that you can accompany them in listening to their own heart. And I really would love to see a coaching culture, as it has in the evangelical world already, I would love to see it really take hold in the Catholic world. I think especially during a time of crisis, the ability to listen, to be there for each other, to help everyone to live out the call of God on their hearts, to really walk with the Father, to be in the Holy Spirit, to keep our eyes on Jesus no matter how big those waves get, because we have a vision for what God is calling us to. That creates a kind of strength and groundedness and energy and determination that the world cannot crush.
Oh, absolutely magnetic. Trying to think of a proper word to use. I mean, it just sounds so wonderful, and the enthusiasm in your voice is very appealing to me. Dear listeners, Lisa Mladnik has been a voice and a wordsmith that I have seen in many, many places, and I really encourage, if she has said something today in what she's written, other books, or the work that she's doing, that you reach out to her. Lisa, why don't you give some connectivity information before we wrap up?
Oh, great. Thank you so much. You can find me at amazingcatechists.com. That's my website. And there is just a section on the nav bar that just have my name on it if you want direct contact information or kind of some of the things I'm up to. But yeah, just through my website is fine. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. And my name is a mouthful to kind of spell. Mladnik is, it's M-L, you know, A-D. It's kind of difficult. So if you just look for Amazing Catechists, plural.com, you'll find me. And I would love for you to find the site, too, because it's full of free resources for parents and ministry leaders and catechists for learning and teaching the faith together.
Lisa, thanks so very, very much for coming back on for a quick update on what you're doing.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and thank you so much. I'm really honored to be a part of this celebration, and congratulations. How exciting, all this great work you've been doing all these years.
God bless. We'll keep you in our prayers.
Thank you, Deacon Tom. You too.
When you need a heartfelt gift for a loved one, friend, or coworker, Christian Gifts and Home Decor.com is the online store to shop. Christian Gifts and Home Decor has lots of items for the home, office, and holidays. Keepsakes that inspire, motivate, and confirm the Christian faith. Owner of Christian Gifts and Home Decor.com, Candy Bridges, has been in business for over 30 years. She takes pride in offering customers gifts of faith, framed art, and framed calligraphy. See the selections of decorative crosses, quotes from saints, coffee and tea, and inspirational coffee mugs. Lasting gifts for wedding, confirmation, baptism, sympathy, and so much more can all be found at www.christiangiftsandhomedecor.com. Get 10% off when you enter the coupon code KPIH during checkout. In addition, when your order totals $100 or more, you will receive free shipping. Convenient shopping on your schedule without leaving home. ChristianGiftsAndHomeDecor.com.
We were able to put together a lot in this show. The early part of it, of course, talking about our successes in streaming, getting our Catholic radio station streaming. And once again, if you are interested, wherever you are around the world, set your browser to ic1.christiannetcast.com/KPIH-FM, and you'll immediately start the audio stream for our local radio station that we started. We've just now entered our third year of operation. hoping to be able to find new ways to grow our evangelization in the community. What a blessing it was to spend time with Lisa Maladnik. A couple things that I remember from her sharing. Be a bead in the life of someone else by continuing to pray the rosary daily, as she has learned to do, and as I have been trying to do. Lisa said that God keeps opening doors, and if we're willing, we can walk through them into things we would have never thought possible. What a wonderful little lesson there, and that's certainly been true in my life. And I thank Lisa for letting me look at it and pause to look at it in that way. We are offering a 400th anniversary episode gift, a very big gift in terms of value. We're offering the Mother Angelica story done by Raymond Arroyo, and he's the narrator on the CD set. I think there's seven or eight, CDs in this set. And he tells the story of Mother Angelica from her days of childhood in Canton, Ohio, all the way up to the founding of EWTN, a life with a lot of twists and turns, some miraculous healings that occurred in her life, some of the many problems that she encountered, and some of the many successes. May God grant her eternal joy and rest. So I think we're going to wrap up this show. The vitamin that we've been talking about is formula, the formula for defeating the battle against good and evil in our times is found in the Eucharist and in the sacraments. I was able and blessed to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, confession yesterday. I had a good and gentle priest that helped me to do a couple things, which I'm going to be moving out on in my life. And I encourage you, dear friends, as Lisa Maladnik did, to go to confession at least once a month, more frequently if you're able to. So this is Deacon Tom. D is working at the parish library, and we thank you for tuning into this episode of Catholic Vitamins, heard around the world on the World Wide Web as the Catholic Vitamins podcast, and heard in North Central Arizona on KPIH 98.9 FM in Payson, Arizona. God bless. We'll see you on the next episode.
Finally, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. And we'll see you next time on Catholic Vitamins.